Good evening. It's great to be here. Just to make sure, those who are here for the first time, I heard there's lots of you from Poch. It's great to have you here. If you're from anywhere else, you're also very welcome. Before I continue this evening, I would like to share on both storms and faith. And before I do so, let us just pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, that you promised in your word that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are with us. And we want to welcome you, Jesus. God, we want to pray that by your Spirit you will come and change us, Lord, through your word. Lord, we pray that your word will come and do in us what we are incapable to do ourselves, and that is to change, God, to become more like you, God. So we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and minister to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this evening I would like to share on a few things, and I want to start off with faith. What is faith and how does faith work? Now, if I were to ask you this evening for a definition of faith, what would you say? It's a question. What would be a good definition of faith? Now, you're murmuring, I can't hear. Believing what you cannot see, that sounds familiar. What is that? Hebrews 11 verse 1, eh? Yes, most Christians, when you ask them for a definition of faith, turns to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 that reads as follows: Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And even though that is a very powerful scripture, I don't really believe that's a definition of faith, but rather how faith works. It's not quite a definition of faith, but really describing the working of faith. The fact that how we apply faith in our life, but it's not quite a definition per se, because I wonder if you ever try to explain faith to an unbeliever in those terms. To be sure of what you hope for, to be certain of what you do not see. I mean, you do not have money, but you hope to have money. As a matter of fact, you are certain you have money, even though you cannot see the money, you are certain of having the money. Now, many unbelievers would say, well, I'm glad that works for you. But I can't believe like that. You know, I also have a problem with faith like that, because, you know, many charismatic Christians, we have faith in faith. We have faith in the working of faith rather than what faith really is. It's almost when you pray for something and it doesn't happen. Who of you have done that before? Okay, right? You pray for something and it doesn't happen, and then this blessed brother or sister comes to you and say, but you must have more faith. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean I must be more certain of what I do not see? Must I increase my certainty? It's like, you know, you're trying to do something. It's very difficult when somebody tells you that you must have more faith and then you will receive. It doesn't quite really work. And in my own life, I've realized that so many times we have faith in faith rather than what faith really is. Does it really mean that I must be more certain for what I hope for? I really believe that a more accurate definition is found in Hebrews chapter 11, but that is found in verse 6 that says the following. It says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. You see, many people say faith is blind. Have you heard that before? You know, faith is like one of these things you get on the airplane. You put it on, then, you know, you go into a direction. You hope for something. It's not really seen, it's not really clear, because, you know, we walk not by sight but by faith. So, you know, you don't really know where you're going, but you know that as you go, you hope that, you know, maybe as you go there, something will work out right, you know? And for many people, that is what faith is about. It's this blind leap into nothingness, hoping that something out there will catch you as you go along. But, you know, I've realized my faith is not like that. My faith is with my eyes wide open. Because I believe God exists, and I believe in His character. I believe that He's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. And when I take my step of faith, I take my steps of faith with my eyes wide open to whom God is. Because I can see His character. And my faith is not based on faith, it's based on the character of God. Because I can see in Scripture plainly and clearly that God is faithful, that God provides. I can see it clearly in the lives of other believers, how God faithfully provides for those who are called according to His purpose. And I can see in my own life how God has been faithful. And therefore, when I make these decisions of faith, it is not blind, but it is with my eyes wide open. I don't need these things. I remember not so long ago when, well, it was about almost 8 years ago, when we were in a meeting and we had to make a decision as to who's going to London to plant a church. And I could make that decision in 10 seconds. In 10 seconds, I could decide to sell my flat, which I didn't own a cent on, take my family, give up my provision and my inheritance, and go to a foreign country with no certainty of any income or any provision. But I was certain of two things, that God exists and that He's a rewarder for those who diligently seek Him, that He provides for those who follow Him. And it wasn't a blind leap into nothing. It was with my eyes wide open into the character and the nature of God that I could take this bold step. And you know what? God was faithful. God provided. I wasn't surprised because I see Him in Scripture and I see Him in the lives of others. And throughout my life, I've experienced His faithfulness. Now, my faith was not blind. My eyes were wide open because I believed that God existed and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Faith really boils down to trust. Do you really trust Him? Do you really trust what you know and what you see and what you hear? That is really what faith is. Trust in God. Trust in Him and trust in His character. Because His character is so plain and clear to all of us through His Word. And I want us to turn to Mark chapter 4 from verse 35. Of course, you don't have Bibles anymore. So we have these slides on the back for you. But nevertheless, I'm going to read from one. It looks like this. Lots of pages. It's called the Bible. It says here from verse 35, on the same day when evening had come, He said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, you know, Jesus was ministering the entire day. He was very tired. After a long day of teaching and ministering, He was telling His disciples to go to the other side. So they dismissed the crowd. They got into the boat. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But He, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him and said to Him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are perishing? And then He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, it's very interesting how Jesus dealt with His disciples, and every situation He used to teach them something. And in the beginning of the story, we see that Jesus had a clear understanding of their destination. And He also had a clear understanding of the way they were going to get there. He told them exactly where to go, and He told them exactly how to get there. And then with them, they traveled to this destination, but on their way there, they got into trouble. Big trouble. A storm came up, great winds and waves started to beat against their boat, and their boat was sinking. And they became fearful, terrified. And they woke the Lord. And they questioned his character. Do you not care that we are perishing? Now Jesus was either very tired or a sound sleeper. I don't know if any of you have been woken in the middle of the night by someone. It's not always a nice experience. You're kind of sometimes a little bit disorientated, not always in a good mood. But nevertheless, they woke the Lord up. And Jesus, half asleep, stood up, rebuked the wind, spoke to the sea, and everything went calm. And then he turned to them and he asked them this simple question. Why are you afraid? Do you have no faith? And then the next chapter we see that they arrive on the other side of the shore and not much is said. I believe because Jesus just went back to sleep again. I mean, it was a great opportunity to teach more on faith, but he didn't because I believe he was just tired. So he just went back to sleep. But in those few words, he was addressing something very powerful. He could have been addressing one or two things or maybe both relating to their faith. The first one was, why do you panic? Why are you afraid? I am in your boat. I'm with you. I have given you the direction. I have given you the means. And I am with you in this boat. Why are you afraid? Why are you panicking? Do you not trust me? In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says something powerful. Before I get there, obviously, these disciples have not yet read Matthew chapter 6 that says, do not worry. Well, actually, they couldn't have read it because it wasn't written at the time. What is actually more scary is they were actually present when God gave this teaching. When Jesus gave the teaching on the mount and said, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or what you will wear. As a matter of fact, look at my character. Look at how God provides for the birds in nature. They have no storerooms, yet God feeds them. And look at the flowers. God clothes them. They do not spin nor toil, yet God looks after them. You of little faith. Throughout nature, his character is revealed and declared. When you walk through nature and you see the mountains and you see the animals and you see this peace and the tranquility to which we are so drawn, there is no stress and anxiety about life because God feeds and provides and cares and sustains. And God is saying, look at my character. Therefore, do not worry about your life, about what you're going to eat or wear, because I am with you. Here in Matthew chapter 10, from verse 29, Jesus says the following, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. Look at my character, God says. Look at how I care for everything around you. And you are of much greater value than all these things. You of little faith. I did not buy you with gold or silver. I gave my life for you. I gave everything. Why are you afraid? Do you not know that even the hair on your head are all numbered? I'm with you in the boat. Why are you panicking? Have you no faith in who I am, in my character? You are very valuable to God. As a matter of fact, there's nothing more valuable to God than your life. And He has already proven that by placing a price on that life. To redeem it, to buy it back. You are valuable to God. So trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him with your life. Trust Him that He will care for you no matter what the circumstances. No matter the wind or the waves or the storm that you may face, no matter how deep your boat is sinking, trust God no matter your circumstances. But of course, you must make sure that you're in the same boat. You must ask Jonah. He learned that lesson. Make sure you're in the same boat as Jesus. Make sure you're going in the same direction. But if you're in the same boat going in the same direction, you know what? It doesn't matter what the circumstances may be. Trust Him because He will care for you. If you are in the same boat and you trust God, then your circumstances will not determine your actions. I'll say that again. If you're in the same boat and you trust God, then your circumstances will not determine your actions. Your faith will determine your actions, not your circumstances. If you believe that God is the source of your income, if you believe that God is your provider and you lose your employment, you know what? You will not stress. Because you believe and you trust in His faithfulness. You will not have sleepless nights. Because you know that He loves and cares for you. Because you put your trust in Him. So don't allow circumstances to dictate your actions, but allow your faith and your trust in Him to do so. What you believe will determine your actions. Now the other faith issue that Jesus could have addressed. Half asleep, He rebuked the wind, said, "Quiet, be stilled." And then He asked, "Why are you afraid? Why are you so afraid? Why did you not still the storm yourself? Why did you wake me? You have little faith." You know, not so long ago, I was facing a storm in my life, and I was crying out to God that He will come and still my storm, and that He will rescue me, for I am perishing. And then God's response was simply, "Grow up. Why don't you still the storm? I've given you the authority. I've given you the same spirit that it was in my son. It's time for you to grow up and still your own storm. How long must I still be with you? How long must I still the storm on your behalf? Why are you so afraid? When the wind and the storm come, why are you waking me? Why don't you stand up and still the storm?" In Luke chapter 17, verse 5 to 6, we read the following. The apostles, the disciples said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Since we have so little, they ask Him, "Lord, increase our faith." And then Jesus responds by saying, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." In Matthew chapter 17, we read the similar thing. He replied to them, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Be moved from here to there,' and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible for you." I actually found a mustard seed, but I didn't bring it because it would have no use, because you would not be able to see it if I showed you one. It's very small. Anybody have seen a mustard seed before? It's small. It's like smaller than the head of a needle. It's very, very small. And the disciples was talking about great faith. They said, "Lord, help us to increase our faith." And Jesus said, "No, actually, if your faith is just this big, you can speak to the mountain this big." Small faith versus big challenge. Jesus said, you know what? Your faith does not have to be equal to the challenge you face. It's not the size of your faith that matters. There's something else. So what is this something else? Why is it not the size that matters when it comes to faith? If the faith does not need to be equal to the challenges that we face, then what is it that makes faith great? Here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22-33, we see a similar situation. Another boat, another storm, and another issue of faith. Jesus was ministering again. And immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Again, they were afraid. Again in a boat, again in a storm, and again they were afraid. This time because there's somebody walking on water. It can only be a ghost. "Oh God, help us. We are going to die. God, you said we must go there. You said how we must get there. And look, there's a ghost." Again, they were afraid. It's very interesting. Whenever fear enters, faith leaves. Have you ever noticed that? The moment faith or fear enters, faith leaves. You know what? It's so interesting. If faith works, according to Hebrews 11, verse 1, of being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, it's so powerful to note that fear works exactly the same way. Fear is to be certain or to be sure of what we dread and to be certain of what we do not see. The two work exactly the same way and they manifest exactly the same way. You know, I had a friend in matric. Wasn't the first team rugby player. I was a first team hockey player. He was afraid of the dark. I was not. That says something about rugby players. No. He really was afraid of the dark. He really was certain that there was something unseen out there that was going to get him. He was so afraid of the dark that I had to literally walk him home every night. He was in matric, for crying out loud. 18 years old and still afraid of the dark, terrified because he was certain of what he dreaded. He was certain and sure of what is unseen out there is going to get him. And that determined his actions. That determined the very fact that I had to take him by hand almost literally and walk him home. I never did the whole distance. I just went halfway and then I said, you know what, grow up. But he wouldn't leave my house until I did at least that. You see, faith and fear works exactly the same way. And when the one enters, the other one leaves. So you have to counter fear with faith and trust. And while they were seeing this ghost coming and being terrified and shouting for their dear lives, verse 27, Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Don't fear. My question to you tonight is simply this: what are you afraid of? What are you fearing in your life? Then Peter responded and said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And then Jesus said, "Come." Jesus said, come. And you know, Peter was a fisherman. He was not that stupid. He knew a few things about water. He knew you cannot stand on it. If you do, you sink. I've tried it many times. Believe me, you sink. Man cannot walk on water. I've tried that also. Unless you are very fast on a ski, you can do it for a few steps. But then you're normally in lots of pain. Nevertheless, you cannot walk on water. Peter knew that. He was a fisherman. And then when he saw this someone speaking to them, and he recognized the voice, he said, God, even though I'm afraid, if that is you, you tell me to walk on water, and I will do so. And when Jesus responded, you know what? Peter had great faith, because he actually got out of the boat. And he stood on water. He's my hero. I never got to do that yet. And not only did he stand on the water, he started to walk. He started to walk all the way close to where Jesus was. And then something happened. Well, let's have a look. What happened to this great faith? Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! And Jesus was close enough to immediately stretch out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? You of little faith. You know, it challenged me so much because here Jesus says, Peter, who just got out of the boat, stood on water, and then walked all the way to him. Peter, having much greater faith than I have. Jesus said, you know, you have little faith. So what does make faith great? What is the missing ingredient? What is that that determines great faith? Peter had great faith to step out of the boat. He had great faith to walk on the water, even close to where Jesus was. But you know what? Then he started to look at circumstances, and he saw the waves and the storm and the wind, and he started to fear. And with fear, his faith went out of the room, and he started to sink. Apart from fear, even though Peter's faith started great, it lacked something significant, very important. It's called endurance, perseverance. I believe that's the missing ingredient of great faith. It's not how you start, but how you end it. It's whether it endures to the very end. It's how long you continue that determines great faith. And you know what's the interesting thing about faith is, Scripture declares that faith will be tested. Faith will be tested. To see what sort it is. And you know what is so interesting about faith? It only gets tested in storms and tribulations and trials. It only gets tested when the wheels come off. It doesn't get tested when everything goes according to plan. It doesn't get tested when your bank account is full of money and many opportunities lie ahead of you. And you can declare that God is great and awesome and He provides and He's such a great God. What an awesome God we serve. But then the bank account dries up and you go into overdraft and the wheels come off and the doors close and you're all alone. And it is that moment when your faith is tested. When you're all alone and everything goes wrong, it is at that moment that you start to question, does God really exist? Does He really care? Does He really hear me? Does He really have the capacity and the love for me to help me? It's only in those times that our faith is tested. It's not when things are smooth sailing, but when the storms and the wind and the waves fill the boat. Because our faith must be tested. Not just to see what sort it is, but to develop it, Scripture says. You know, all the apostles, they wrote, count it pure joy when you face these storms and these winds and these waves that fill your boat and you start to sink. Because you know it will produce in you something. Something that is very important. Let's look at James. Chapter 1, verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. In the NIV, endurance. But let patience, endurance, have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking anything. You see, the aim of many storms and trials and tribulation is to purify and to develop faith. It is meant to produce in us an increase, not just a purification, but an increase in our faith. Because once you have faced that storm and you've come to that place where you start to doubt the very existence of God and His character and His nature, and you choose to trust Him, independent, irrespective of the circumstances, but you choose to trust God, it is in that moment that your faith grows more than ever before. Because you base your faith not on your circumstances, but you base your faith in the character and the nature of God. And it is in that moment that you grow. And it is that kind of endurance that God is looking for. That endurance needs to complete its work so that we might be complete and perfected, not fearing anything. Faith that will endure to the end. Not just start great, but will continue to the very end. Faith that is not blind. Faith that is based on the character and the nature of God. Faith that leads to action. In conclusion, as the band comes up, make sure that God is in your boat. Make sure you're going in the same direction. So that when you face those storms and that wind and the waves, you will not fear, because you know He's with you. And then choose to trust Him. Choose to trust God. Choose to put your faith in Him. And not in the circumstances, not in the voices around you, not in precedent, but in God. Choose to trust God no matter what your circumstances. Look to Him. Trust Him like Peter. When Jesus was standing on the water and waiting for Peter, and Peter was following the Lord, and he was seeing Him and he was stepping out, you know what? He was focusing on Him. Because He said so. If you say so, God, I will do it. And he got so far, and then the circumstances started to minister to him, and he started to doubt. So look to Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on Him, on His character. Look at God as He reveals Himself throughout the Scriptures, of His faithfulness, of His loyalty, of His provision. Look to Him, see Him, and choose to put your trust in Him. And not in your circumstances, not in your own ability, not in what others may say, but what God says. And you know what? You will walk through your storm. You will walk through your storm. God will give you the wisdom. God will give you the confidence. God will still your storm if He has to. He will speak to the wind or the waves, or He will speak to you, so that you can speak to your wind and your waves. I don't know where you're at, but God will speak to you, and He will allow you to overcome. He will make sure that you meet the destination, His purpose for your life. But you need to put your trust in Him and not doubt. You know what the great thing about God is? Even if we do doubt, even if we do fail, God is right there to pick us up. Because He is committed, He is determined to see us grow, to see us become complete and mature in Him. He will not leave you even if you fail. It's not an excuse to fail, but I want to say, you know what? We serve an awesome God. Even if we fail, He's right there with us to pick us up again and to speak to us, to encourage us, to say, come on, trust me, look at me.
Don't look at the waves. Don't look at the wind. Don't look at your boat. Look at me and follow me. Like David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. Why are you with me? Because I was following you. I didn't end there by myself, but you are my shepherd and I follow you. And even though you lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are right there in front of me. And I will go out the other side because you are with me. And I want to encourage you this evening. Choose to trust Him and not on things. Choose to trust God, no matter your circumstances. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can declare that our faith is not blind, and that our faith is not even in faith, but our faith and our trust is in you, God. That you exist, and that your character, God, your character declares that you will never leave us nor forsake us. That you have gone to the end of the extreme. You have sacrificed your own Son. You have become sin for us, God. You were willing to die so that we may know how much you love us. That we may know how much you value us. That we may know that your word is true. And God, I pray that you will come and fill us, God, with the confidence to put our trust in you. God, I pray, Lord, for those who are here today who are facing storms. And I believe, God, there are people here this evening. You are facing a storm and God is speaking to you tonight. Do not be afraid. Do not give up hope. Do not look to the wind or the waves or the boat that is sinking, but look to me and know that I am with you. Father, I want to pray for those who need endurance. God, I want to pray for those, God, who are maybe growing weak, maybe growing weary, God, in their pursuit for you. God, I want to pray for them. If you are here tonight and you are growing weary, you are getting tired of the winds and the wave, God is speaking to you tonight. He says, get up, take hold of my hand, do not give up, because I love you. I'm with you. I will not leave you. I will not allow you to sink. Just look up to me. Maybe you are here this evening and you are anxious of something. There is something that you are so afraid of. Maybe there's something that keeps you awake at night. There's something in the back of your mind, something still yet unseen, that you are fearing. God is saying, trust me. Put your faith in me and not in your fear. But put your faith in me, in my word, my character, my love for you. If that is you tonight, I want to pray with you. For some of us, it means we need to speak to our storms. For others, we need to ask God to still our storms. For others, He needs to lift us up again, to give us that word of encouragement, to go on again. And for others, we need to make that choice to let go of the fear and to choose tonight to follow Him. And then there's another group, another small group of people maybe. Maybe you are here tonight and you are not sure that God is in your boat. Maybe, I must put it this way, you are not in His boat. You're on your own boat. God is inviting you this evening to come to His boat, to get out of yours and step into His, to go to His destination for your life, that you can have the confidence, no matter what storm you are facing, that you know that He is with you. If that is you, I'd also love to pray with you. And if God has been speaking to you this evening, I want to ask you to come forward. I want you to act on your faith. And I want you to come forward and we want to pray with you. That God will come and minister to you in the storm, in the fear, in your weakness. If that is you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come forward right now. We're going to pray with you. bring your personal belongings. For some, Jesus is saying, step out of the boat. Step out of your security. Step out of that thing that keeps you afloat, that thing that you trust. God said, come. Come follow me. Come see what it means to walk on water. Come see what it means to follow the living God. Step out. For some, as you're saying, speak to your storm. But God is calling you tonight. Father, I thank you for these lives, Lord. I thank you for each and every person. God, I thank you for these storms. God, I thank you for the storms in our lives that challenges us, God, that challenges our faith. God, I thank you for these opportunities that we have, God, to be weak in ourselves and cry out to you, God, and know that you are strong. God, I thank you that we can be weak so that you, through your grace, can be strong in us. God, thank you for these moments. Thank you for these challenges, God. I pray, Lord, that we will rise up in faith and not in fear, God. That we'll choose to put our faith in you and know that you are good. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for lives around us, God. For you are good. You are awesome. You are a great God, a loving Father that never leaves us, that never gives up hope. Thank you, God. Thank you for these lives. I'm going to thank each and every one that came tonight. We're going to dismiss the meeting while we minister to these people. Thank you so much for coming. May God bless you. And next time you face a storm, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. But choose to trust Him. If you're in need of prayer, please do not hesitate. That is why we're here tonight, to pray for you. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you so much.